In the name of Him who loved us and has freed us from our sins, we meditate today on part of John's account on the bottom of page 102 and on to 103. This is John 20, verses 11 to 18, the account of Mary Magdalene at the tomb. But Mary stood outside facing the tomb, weeping. As she wept, she bent over, looking into the tomb. She saw two angels in white clothes sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She told them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." After she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, though she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you carried him off, tell me where you laid him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and replied in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus told her, "Do not continue to cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." She also told them the things he said to her. The word of the Lord. We pray. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. If you did a Google search of the famous movie, Passion of the Christ, maybe some of you watched it again, just looking for the final scene, the last minute and 24 seconds, it's the resurrection, the Passion of the Christ. Almost up to 600,000 views, at least that particular clip is. And there's no doubt that the movie has been a blessing to many. As one man wrote, "After I watched the movie, I wasn't so afraid of my cancer anymore. I'm looking forward to when I can finally see Jesus face to face." Blessing, no doubt. But then, of course, there are the critics. I just checked out one group. They're called Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, pretty rotten. Well named. It's all about why they really don't think it was a good movie. And the way, well, most of them at least, Mel Gibson failed and, you know, sadistic, I think, is one of the words that was put in there. Just too hard, too emotional, too difficult, can't stand it. What do you expect, right? There's a hymn verse that says, "None but his loved ones know." And that white stone in Revelation, you know, with the name on it, the new name that only the person who gets it knows what it means. New name means new existence. When God puts his name on you in your baptism, you have a new existence. And maybe if you were baptized as a baby as I was, praise God, I've known Jesus as my best and truest friend ever since. And you know why. Seeing that last scene where it's quite dramatic, because after all, this is Hollywood, last minute and a half, and you hear the rumbling of the stone rolling away, and you see the grave clothes where they were, and it's more of a shroud and the napkin covering, and it just kind of sinks into the stone. And the next shot is over there. It's just his face. And he's opening his eyes. And he's alive. But no smile. I wondered, what's the smile? There's no look of triumph. There's this look of concern. And he's getting up and he's got to get to it now. And there's just things to handle and things to do. And I'm thinking, okay, if you had a little problem with the emotionalism of the whole movie, I just am amazed at how human beings have trouble with good things, the good news. You know, the part of the movie I'd like to watch that lasts a minute and a half at the end instead of the whole sadness and drama, and you know how movies are, doesn't matter which ones you watch. If they end happily, don't watch in the 70s, they were all sad. Oh. Just when you get to love the actors or you love the guy and you got to kill him off. That was the 70s. But there's got to be happiness at least sometime for most people, and it's so short. And maybe that's why people have a hard time with the good news. I mean, the really good news that death is conquered. Life is real. This is not just a big confused mess of people arguing. And the farther they get from God and His Word, the more they argue. What else would you expect? But no. The thing of it is, Hollywood will do the best they can. They can never capture the anguish of Jesus' heart on Good Friday when He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? When He was forsaken because of our sins and our guilt, all piled on Him. Can't picture that. But the Bible tells us. And they can't really picture the victory of Easter either. And that's why I love the Bible stories, the accounts, the truth, not made up myth and legend. Everything but that. Like here in John 20, 11 to 18. To see in these weeks leading through Lent for us here at New Life, it's all been about His final steps. His final steps that finally took Him to the place of the skull on Good Friday. But today, His first steps led outside His tomb. And to all people, Mark's gospel says, first to Mary Magdalene. If you are skeptical about Easter, and I know there are skeptical people because I'm one of them, I got to have help on this. Apparently, so did everybody else that knew Jesus at the time. Because He kept telling them it would happen, and they kept not believing it. They kept ignoring the part about the resurrection, telling Jesus He shouldn't die that way, and then arguing about who was the greatest. Nothing's new, nothing's changed. We're all like that. So among the most unlikely witnesses is Mary Magdalene. She stood outside facing the tomb weeping. As she wept, she bent over, looking into the tomb. She saw two angels in white clothes sitting there where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. They asked her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Why indeed? Why would you not? You know anything about Mary Magdalene? Luke records some details. Luke was a doctor, so Luke chapter 8 tells us that when Jesus is preaching, you know, through Galilee and going from village to village, there were those that followed Him. Of course, the 12 were with Him and other crowds, but also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, Susanna, and many others who provided support for them out of their own possessions. Some of these were well-to-do women that followed Jesus and His disciples, paid His expenses, and so forth. And Mary Magdalene. To have to look back in your life and be ashamed of part of it, we all know that. skeletons in the closet, as they're called, just something that you don't want to think about. Can't believe I said, I did, whatever it is. It's there. And it's hard. You just close your mind to it till you learn to take it to the cross, drag it to the cross, and leave it at the foot of the cross. That's what Mary Magdalene is learning here. But she had seven demons in her. They had control of her body. The Bible never tells us what happened at that time, but it had to have been terrifying and embarrassing and shameful. And Jesus comes, and with the power of his word, he drives out the demons. He did this over and over again. But for Mary, to lose him, to see him tortured and crucified on Good Friday, who would not suffer from PTSD with that? Post-traumatic stress disorder, right? Of course she's weeping. How could she not be weeping? And why do the disciples and others get these questions from Jesus? And at this point, it's the angels asking, why are you weeping? Don't they know? Oh, yeah. And there's a reason for that, too. We'll save it for when Jesus asks again. She's weeping. She's sad because when you think Jesus is still dead, you're falling into some of those things we'll pray about when we get to the prayer of the church today. False teaching. It devastates people when pastors get away from the scripture or say that it's an old book of myth and legend that we shouldn't believe anymore. That devastates people. It tears apart their souls. God said it, I believe it. That settles it. Lukewarm Christianity. Jesus said he would rather spit them out of his mouth than lukewarm Laodicea, right? Book of Revelation. Not a good thing. The empty worship when we go through the motions and say the words without thinking about them, or futile religion. There's tons of religions in the world. They all tell you to do this and do that. Only the Bible religion says done. As Jesus said, it is finished. I love it. He said it's finished. And Mary Magdalene didn't know how finished it was yet. She heard those words from Jesus too, because she was there at the cross watching on Good Friday. But she was suffering. Woman, why are you weeping? It's her heart. It's broken. The sadness is overwhelming. She needs this tender ministry of the only one who can help. But isn't it amazing that the very first person that sees this on Easter happens to be this woman? In Magdala, the town where she was from, you can bet she had a reputation after having seven demons in her. You think there's no room for you in God's house because you've got things you're ashamed of in your life? No room for me? No room for Mary? The sick ones are the ones God wants to come. He says it's not the well who need the doctor. It's the sick ones. It's not a museum for saints. This is a hospital for sinners, as has often been said. Mary Magdalene was showing that. You might also wonder, and it's a fair question, if John, as he wrote, as far as we know, 60 years after Jesus had ascended into heaven, 60 years later, all right, fair question. How could he remember all the words that Jesus spoke and get them down and get them right in his gospel account? Jesus had made a promise in John chapter 14, verse 26. He said, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify of me and he will remind you of all the things that I've said to you. So some of the most comforting sermons of our Lord are Holy Thursday of Holy Week, John 14 through 17, high priestly prayer there too. Oh yeah, they remembered. The Holy Spirit told them what to write. And these details are eyewitness. Had to be an eyewitness account. See, the way things are lining up, and it's a little hard to put it together because it's like Easter morning. Everybody's running around on Easter morning, right? Mary Magdalene goes out there with the other women first. She sees the tomb is empty. She runs back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples, Peter and John, they've stolen the Lord's body, which was impossible because the enemies made sure. Remember, they went to Pilate. Oh yeah, this imposter said, after 3 days, I'll rise again. So set a guard on the tomb and seal it to make sure that nobody can steal the body. So once again, the enemies of the Lord prove that God's word is true in spite of themselves. Nobody could break into that tomb. The guards were paid to say the disciples came and stole the body. But it's ridiculous because they were the crack troops of the ancient world. Nobody would get past them except angels and an earthquake and the Lord rising. And then Mary Magdalene, she follows Peter and John out there. You know, we heard that this morning from John's account earlier where John is faster. He gets there first, but, you know, Peter, older guy, trying to keep up. John just looks in, and Peter runs in because nothing's going to stop him. They look around, and there's the grave clothes laid out, and we think it's probably some kind of a shroud and a napkin over his face. It wasn't the bindings like the Egyptians with embalming and wrapping the body. Sometimes it's pictured like that. That's not accurate. But that movie probably has it right. I mean, some scholars think that as Jesus rose, that the grave clothes just dropped where they were. What was not there was a mess. No grave robbers would have left the grave so neat. And John honestly answers this. He says, they, that would be John and Peter, still did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. We don't always understand the scripture, do we? If your heart is troubled and you're suffering from anxiety, and it comes on all of us at times, you need to know how to deal with it in the Lord. And learn how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God in Christ. It's a lifelong quest. Mary Magdalene was in it. His first steps were outside the tomb to Mary, who thought Jesus was a gardener. She turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and though she did not know Jesus, Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" There it is again. It just kind of jumped out at me because of a new term I've learned. It's called dysphoria. Had to look it up. They're attaching it now to dysphoria, gender dysphoria. But dysphoria is just some kind of dissatisfaction, worry, dissatisfied with how things are. It can be in many different ways. But the whole gender dysphoria that's in the news these days is because we've been telling generation after generation that you're all an accident, that you evolved from slime. How are you possibly supposed to have any idea of the value and worth of you as an individual if you are just in a bunch of accidents from slime? We wonder why we have such a violent society. One verse in the only eyewitness account there is. He created them male and female. Careful, beautiful creation of God, male and female. And our dear Lord uses the term woman. And it's not derogatory. It's sweet. It's loving. It's kind. It's about the one whom God said needed to be for the man because it's not good for the man to be alone. And it's so sweet because he who created the male and female also forgives us men when we fail to appreciate the gift that God has given in the woman. That sure takes care of a lot of dysphoria. Not just gender types, but all kinds of dysphoria. And why does he keep asking the question? Because he's drawing her out. He wants her to express her feelings. He wants to give her time. So he asks again a question that he knows the answer to. God does this again and again in the Bible. Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? Why does she think he's the gardener? Scholars with too much time on their hands, they got to guess at these things. Maybe he kept her from recognizing him because God can do anything. Could be she was crying so hard she just couldn't see him through her tears. Could be that Jesus' form changed after he rose from the dead because he's got a glorified body now. And it could be all of the above, plus the fact that who's the last person you think you're going to see on Easter morning when you think he's still dead? Lots of reasons she could think he's the gardener. We can't always recognize Jesus either. COVID was a hard time, but I mean, that was just like one of many diseases, right? There's tons of other ones. And it's scary. Along with inflation, businesses closing, family issues, church issues. There's just, I mean, maybe you're in school and you thought you had friends, but you keep finding that you're sitting alone and they're talking and you don't know what they're talking about, and that's hard. How do you deal with all that? You know, it all comes down to Easter. Remember that story of Martin Luther? Busy in his study. He hears his wife, Katie Luther, come in. She's all dressed in black. Who died? There's no funeral today. I mean, he should know. He's the pastor, right? Jesus is dead. Katie, he is not. He's risen. Then why do you keep acting like Jesus is dead? Wise women of Israel shook him out of his funk or whatever it was. But Luther realized, I need to focus on Jesus. And that is what Mary is seeing here. Only this could roll the stone away of all our grief and care. His steps, first steps, led outside the tomb to Mary, who witnessed to all. Jesus just needed one word. Just one. And he knows that one word for you too. The Holy Scriptures tell us he knows us all by name. And he just says it to her. How sweet that must have sounded, huh? Mary. Now she recognizes him. Rabboni, Aramaic, is a dialect of Hebrew. It literally means my teacher, my master. She's not going to let him go this time. I mean, the hug is just, she's just going to hold on, my teacher, my master. And he says, do not continue to cling to me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Brothers. This is the first time that Jesus called them brothers. It's been said there's enough comfort in that to spend the rest of your life in peace and joy with God, because these were the disciples that argued about who was the greatest, didn't listen when he was telling them. They denied him, they betrayed him, they ran away. Only John and the women were at the cross. And now he calls them brothers. My brothers. And don't worry, ladies, because the footnotes will always tell you that the women are included in brothers. I've tried that sometimes at New Life, asking, you know, some of the younger women, does this bother you? And we say, brother, oh no, pastor, we know who you're talking about. It's like, you know, don't worry about it. But there's something comforting in that too. Because most families that have brothers and sisters, you're going to hear it complained about that the brothers seem to have all the advantages. You know, moms with the sons and that sort of stuff. I don't know. I mean, I'm a brother, so why? How would I notice, right? Yeah, but when the Lord calls us brothers, that means the Lord is looking at all of us the same in wisdom and kindness and love and welcome. And he's picking women to go and tell the disciples, he is risen. He is risen indeed. So run. There will have to be others, Mary Magdalene. There will have to be others who will know Jesus as the one who was given this name from God that is above every name. What are you going to tell your friend when you try to tell him about Easter and they give you that condescending look and say, well, that's good for you, but, you know, it's like, yeah, you have the little mind, that's good for you, but I am more advanced and I got a bigger mind, you know, if you still believe that stuff, that's fine for you. Well, listen to this. The Lord God has highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, there's the name, Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You only need two words to answer that objection. That's good for you. I don't believe that. Two words. You will. Because every knee will bow before him. And maybe a little encouragement too. I pray it won't be too late for you. Because today is the day of salvation. There were other witnesses that had to be able to say with Mary Magdalene, I have seen the Lord. Peter wrote in his first epistle, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the powerful appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitness of his majesty. For 40 days the Lord Jesus was on this earth, showing himself to set witnesses. And I wondered once why he only showed himself to witnesses and not to everybody. Recently, someone said he saw a crowd of people and some guy carrying a sign that said, if Jesus comes back, kill him again. You see why Jesus didn't show himself to everybody? There are some that just won't believe it, no matter what. And John in his first epistle said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have observed, our hands have touched regarding the word, the life appeared and we've seen it. We testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We are proclaiming what we have seen and heard also to you so that you may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Go tell my brothers, I'm going ahead of them to Galilee. And the writer to the Hebrews says, he was not ashamed to call us brothers. He wants that all for us. His final steps to sadness and grief. His first steps in triumph outside the tomb. Why? Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is
Hallelujah.